And so we could hear this title as Zazen is an acupuncture needle. The acupuncture needle of Zazen, meaning that Zazen can cure sickness in this accurate kind of way. And we can also hear the title as the acupuncture needle to cure sicknesses of Zazen. More like kind of false understandings of Zazen. And that's probably what it traditionally refers to. There were different people before Dogen wrote these treatises on called Zazen Shin, acupuncture needles of Zazen, and or for Zazen, and they seem to be kind of focused instructions or admonitions on the details of the practice of Zazen. So, in the spirit of those ancients, Dogen himself wrote this piece to cure what he considered sicknesses due to false understandings of Zazen from his time. And so one of the central stories in this essay of Dogen's is about the tile polishing incident. How many people know of that story just by the title? Wow! Like most people. I'm surprised.
You've got some shiny tiles
here. You must. Wow, then hopefully there'll be something new in the way you hear this. But I'll tell the story, and then to refresh your mind, and then some of Dogen's comments. Because Dogen, in his usual way, turns the whole story upside down. And I think if we go through the story phrase by phrase, too, there, as Dogen does, there's different aspects are brought up in each part of it. And each part is like its own meditation instruction. So even if you've heard the story many times, personally, I feel it's like one of my favorite Zen stories. There's not so many Zen stories that are specifically about Zazen as like sitting meditation. You could say all Zen stories or all Zen koans are ultimately about Zazen, but this one is specifically about like sitting meditation, which we do in Zen practice, right? So, I think it's very dear to my heart because it's so focused on this practice that we do maybe every day. And it seems like one of Dogen's favorite stories too, because he tells it at various places throughout his writings. So the story is about these two ancients in China, Nanyue and Matsu. Nanyue was a disciple of the sixth ancestor, and Matsu was his disciple. And Matsu was one of the greatest Chan masters in that golden age in China. Many, many awakened students, and really Chan Zen just took off after Matsu. So the story goes that the way that before Dogen's comments come into it, the story itself is that Matsu, as in Nanyue's assembly, would always be sitting Zazen. And one day Nanyue came up and said, "What are you figuring to do sitting there?" And you know, different translations here, but you might translate it as, "What are you intending to do sitting there?" And Matsu said, "I'm figuring to make a Buddha." and Nanyue picked up one of those broken roof tiles that are lying around on the ground in those Zen temples, and started rubbing it on a rock. And I, you know, we can maybe kind of picture the scene. He's standing off to the side, right, and Matsu's trying to say zazen, meanwhile, shk, 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 over there, and then Matsu's like, you know, like, what's this guy doing? Can't he just let me sit? But no, he can't. What are you doing? He asks. And Nanyue says, I'm polishing this tile to make a mirror. And Matsu says, well, how can you make a mirror by polishing a tile? And Nanyue says, well, how can you make a Buddha by sitting zazen? And so then Matsu asks, well, then what's right? How should I practice then? And Nanyue says, well, if you're riding in a cart and the cart doesn't move, do you strike the cart or strike the ox? And this metaphor could be interpreted in various ways, but often people seem to interpret it as the cart and the ox are like the body and the mind. So do you strike the physical posture of zazen, sitting, to make a Buddha, or do you strike the mind that understands what Buddha is? Another interpretation of the cart and the ox would be practice and realization, or practice and verification. Do you strike the practice, or do you strike the realization? So Nanyue asks this question, do you strike the cart or strike the ox? And Matsu is silent. He doesn't answer. Maybe he's just contemplating, or maybe it's like speechless. And so then Nanyue goes on to say, if you're studying sitting Zen, zazen, Zen is not a matter of sitting or lying down. If you're studying sitting Buddha, Buddha is no fixed mark or fixed characteristic. In a non-abiding Dharma, there can be no grasping or rejecting. If you're studying sitting Buddha, this is killing Buddha. Grasping the mark or characteristic of Buddha is not reaching the principle. And at these words, Matsu felt as if he was drinking nectar. All right, which I just had this Thai iced tea. It probably was like, tasted like that. And then Dogen stops the story there. And but the original story does go on further. And Matsu continues to, I think at that point, Matsu asks, well, how do I practice this characterless samadhi, the concentration that has no characteristic? And Nanyue says something like, your practice is like planting seeds, and my instructions are like watering the seeds. So something about the teacher-student relationship there. And they have some more dialogue, and at the end of that dialogue, Matsu has this great awakening So this feeling like drinking a Thai iced tea was not quite at the end of the story yet. But Dogen really focuses on this first part of the story. And each section, I think, is wonderful practice instruction, Zazen instruction in itself. And so now we can go through more slowly and look at this story. So at the very beginning, when Dogen sets the scene, he changes it already in this small way. He says, after intimately receiving the mind seal, Amatsu always sat in Zazen. And this is this key thing that Dogen does that you might not even really notice, but it's not there in the original story. And the implication is that after intimately receiving the mind seal means like after his complete understanding or his transmission of Dharma from Nanyue. So they're like, at this point, they're like two teachers speaking. Instead of the original story, is a sense he's a new student coming to Nanyue. So already, Dogen sets it up now as like, now it's a conversation between two understanding beings speaking to each other about Zazen, which changes the whole kind of context, right? This is often what Dogen does, is he raises the level of conversation that may be like somewhat diluted to the level of like each expression is like an expression of perfect accord with reality. So after intimately receiving the mind seal, Matsu is always sitting Zazen. And Nanyue came up and said, what are you figuring to do sitting there like that? And Matsu said, I'm figuring to make a Buddha. And various different ways this could be interpreted. And what Dogen often does with these stories that's sometimes lost in translation is he plays with like multiple meanings of these Chinese characters. So one way is that this character for figuring means like a figure, or means like figure or diagram or plan, and it kind of looks like a picture of a map or something in a box. So Dogen's comment is, you know, and I won't go through all of Dogen's comments, we won't have time, but some of the ones that stood out for me are, he says at the there must be figuring at prior to, subsequent to, and at the very moment of making a Buddha. There's always figuring. So this sounds different than the original story, which is kind of like critical of like, you know, you're planning to make some future Buddha. You're figuring to make some Buddha in the future. Dogen's saying this figuring is always before, after, and during the moment of making Buddha. And if we see it as figure, one interpretation would be that it's like manifestation, or the figure of the sitting posture. It's a form or an expression that must be at the moment of making Buddha. There's always a figure of Buddha at the time of making Buddha. But even if we interpret it just as, you know, intending, you could even say there's this thinking or intending or planning aspect of mind that we tend to separate from the goal of the intention, becoming Buddha, for example. And Dogen's playing with the fact that at the deepest level, Buddha is being made. Buddha is being manifested at the very moment of any intention, and particularly at the moment of intention of being Buddha. It doesn't have to be separate from this thinking, planning, intentional kind of mind, which the story seems to imply that, you know, you have to get over this like planning, thinking thing. But Dogen, in his rigorous pointing towards non-duality, moment after moment, is emphasizing this point that right at the moment of like, I'd like to become a Buddha sometime, maybe Buddha is made right at that moment. Buddha is being made. I'm figuring to make a Buddha. So then Nanyue picks up the tile and starts polishing. And, you know, what are you doing? Polishing the tile to make a mirror. Well, how can you make a mirror by polishing a tile? And Dogen's comments are that the polishing a mirror, polishing a tile, is manifesting a mirror. That he doesn't say it quite this way, but how I would understand it is that in the very act of polishing, the mirror is there. It's not so much that we're polishing in order to make a future mirror, just like we're not intending to make a future Buddha, but in the intention, Buddha is there. So in the very act of polishing, wholeheartedly polishing, meaning like practicing Zazen with effort, we could even say, the mirror is there. How can you make a mirror by polishing a tile? How can you make a Buddha by sitting Zazen? Dogen says, sitting Zen, Zazen, does not await making a Buddha. So we don't sit Zazen with the expectantly waiting for a future Buddha. How can you make a Buddha by sitting Zazen? And so then Matsu says, well then what is right? And Dogen comments, these interrogative words like what and how and who are classically, before Dogen's time, raised to this to represent completion, wholeness, awakening itself. These interrogatives become like statements. So when we say like, what is Buddha? The question mark, the answer might be, what is Buddha? Or Buddha is what? Almost like the question mark is transformed into an exclamation point. So, what is right? In the original question, it sounds like, well, what's right? And Dogen says, now he's talking about, he's intimately received a mind seal, right? So, when he says, what is right? He's making this statement about the nature of things. What is right? And I think at this point, Dogen says something like, what and right are like two friends meeting each other. So, like, this friend, you know, depends on this friend to be a friend, and this friend depends on this friend to be a friend. So what and right are like that. What is right? Right is what? And so this tile polishing thing is the first section, which is really seems to be pointing at the sudden versus gradual aspect of practice. So that in a way is a complete story. If we stop there, that's a great thing to contemplate in and of itself, is does polishing a tile make a mirror in the future or right now? And what's the relationship between this the gradual practice of tiling, of polishing, and the mirror just being the mirror from the start. Mirror like the, you know, clear reflection of whatever's happening without any distortion. Which, you know, there's lots of these mirror stories. And the main one being with the Six Ancestors poem. What's the relationship between mirror practice and polishing practice? So that's one whole dynamic thing to contemplate. And now, the next part is if you're riding in a cart and the cart doesn't move, do you strike the cart or strike the ox? And if we're saying body and mind, so this is like another contemplation now. It's a whole, that's another aspect of how we look at Zazen. And all these things are kind of looking at duality versus non-duality. So in this case, it's body and mind is one duality. Do we strike the body or strike the mind? And it seems like the original implication is like, it's not about the body, right? It's not about the sitting posture. It's like if you understand Buddha, then it doesn't have to manifest in any particular body posture. But Dogen, of course, really emphasizes the body and the non-duality of body and mind. He has another essay called Body and Mind, Study of the Way. And he says, and there's places where he says, the way is not realized through the mind, it's realized through the body. So, and I don't think it's about, when he's emphasizing the body, that it's a particular, I mean, he does describe in meditation instructions the exact details of the meditation posture, and it must be like this. But it seems that the point is that it's a specific body. We're always in a specific body and a specific posture. So to think that this is just a mind thing, almost like forget all about the body, just understand. It's like, well, but that must be expressed through the body. It's always a particular posture and a particular body. So Dogen's comments on this ox and cart story is, you know, he says, in the world, there isn't such thing, but in the Buddha Dharma, there is definitely the method of striking the cart. Cart striking. And he says, also says that also in the world, ox striking is quite different than the ox striking in the Buddha Dharma. And then he plays with this in all kinds of ways. And one of his phrases in the end is like, the ox strikes the ox. So this is, and I think that points to like, well, if we're talking about striking, you know, striking meaning like emphasizing, or directing our attention to the body or the mind. It's like, well, who's doing this directing? What's this, what's being directed towards? What, kind of attention? Is it, is it like another mind that's like attending to the mind? So the ox strikes the ox. So the question is, do you strike the ox or strike the cart? And Matsu was silent, did not reply. And Dogen's comment is, we should definitely not do violence to Matsu's silence. Meaning like it wasn't like an ignorant like lack of words, right? It was manifesting the complete expression, especially in response to such a question: do you strike the ox or strike the cart? It's like, oh well, we kind of strike this and kind of strike that. Like he didn't, you know, his silence was like the, you know, lion's roar of Vimalakirti. Nothing deeper could ever be said to respond to such a question. And then Nanyue goes on, if you're studying sitting Zen, Zen is not sitting or lying down. And if you're studying sitting Buddha, Buddha is no fixed mark. I think that's one of the key phrases in here, a key kind of meditation instruction that you can pull out of the whole story. Buddha is no fixed mark. Now, with the way the Chinese language is, it could be translated also as Buddha has no fixed mark, because it's just like Buddha, no fixed characteristic or mark. Buddha has no fixed mark is kind of like, if we translate it like that, would be like, there's an arising Buddha that, you know, has no graspable fixed characteristics. But Buddha is no fixed mark. I kind of like it better that way. That what Buddha is no fixed mark. So Buddha is the actual ungraspability of everything. It's not that Buddha is ungraspable, but Buddha is the very ungraspability. No fixed mark is like emptiness. You might have heard that, you know, Buddha has these, traditionally in the old teachings of Buddha, has these 32 marks or characteristics, like wheel marks on the feet and webbed fingers and long ear lobes and like head thing and curls and very strange description, actually, if you read those descriptions in the sutras and try to draw a picture of the Buddha following that description, he would look very strange. But in the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha says something like, what do you think, Sabuti? Can the Tathagata be seen by these 32 marks or characteristics? And Sabuti says, no, because as the Tathagata can be only be seen by no marks. The true Buddha cannot be seen by marks. The Dharmakaya Buddha has no characteristics. So if you're studying sitting Buddha, Buddha is no fixed marks. If if we're studying sitting Buddha, this is killing Buddha. And Dogen, I think in the original, it's like killing the true Buddha by studying the sitting Buddha that is has this mark of sitting. But Dogen turns that and like the, he said one of the virtues of Buddha is killing Buddha. Buddhas kill Buddhas. And this is like, you know, Lin Ji already had come up with that phrase of if you meet the Buddha, kill the Buddha. So this is killing a fixed version of Buddha. Killing is kind of a violent image, but maybe to make this strong point that not to grasp any fixed version of Buddha. And then the last phrase is, I think, one of the, well, also, I guess, maybe just before that phrase, Nanyue said, in a non-abiding Dharma, there can be no grasping or rejecting, which is a great phrase in itself, too, right? That's a practice instruction. In a non-abiding Dharma or phenomena or meditation, in non-abiding meditation, there can be no grasping or rejecting. That's in a way maybe the most straightforward meditation instruction of the whole story, that grasping or rejecting anything is instant suffering, and not grasping or rejecting is the cessation of suffering. It could be said to be that simple. And how do we not grasp or reject anything? Well, if there's an abiding Dharma, then it's probably going to be impossible not to grasp or reject. Abiding means like fixed, stuck. And the constantly dropping away reality seems to be not dropping away, abiding. But then the last phrase of the story is, if you grasp the mark of sitting, this is not reaching the principle. And the principle being like the ungraspable nature of everything. Emptiness, we could say, the principle. If you grasp the mark of sitting, this is not reaching the principle. And so Dogen has a difficult commentary on this. And, you know, different translators in their notes on this story say, like, this is all very tentative, this translation, and this is really, I think it's actually one of the more difficult fascicles of Dogen, the Zazen Shin essay. And each sentence, the more studying it, it seems like each sentence really is packed in, with rich meaning, and the genius of Dogen with his poetic play and constantly referring to all, you know, tangentially to all these classic stories. Anyway, he says, it's this word for grasp, is another one of these characters that can also mean something like be completely identified with. It's kind of like what grasping is, right? If you like grasp something, it's almost like, in a way, you're almost like becoming one with, in a certain way. So he turns it like that. And so to be completely identified with the sitting form, Dogen says, is to let go of the sitting form while maintaining the sitting form. I think that's a great instruction sentence of Dogen. To be completely identified with the sitting form is to let go of the sitting form while maintaining the sitting form. So let go of the sitting form doesn't mean, oh, well then just like sit however, it doesn't matter because it's beyond the posture. Maintain the sitting form while letting go of the sitting form. In a way, that almost sums up the whole story, actually. And Dogen goes on to be completely identified with the sitting form though being completely identified with the sitting form is crystal clear, this is not reaching the principle. And such concentrated effort is what's called dropping off body and mind, which is Dogen's kind of classic expression of his own awakening, and that he uses to refer to complete awakening, dropping off body and mind. So to be completely identified with the sitting form doesn't reach the principle. even though this complete identification is crystal clear. So you could say this is implying, like, when you're really concentrated and focused in zazen, just one with your sitting, this does not reach the principle. And then such concentrated effort, and we could say, what? We could say it's the concentrated effort at understanding this point, the concentrated effort at this very point of the non-reachability of the principle, even when totally cooking in zazen. This non-reaching is what's called dropping off body and mind. So it seems to imply that the principle cannot be reached, actually. If we think we reach the principle, this is kind of like grasping a mark that Dogen also says elsewhere, that what Buddha is going beyond Buddha. Continually going beyond Buddha. We never finish. We never stop. We never get to some point where, okay, finally, Buddha reached the principle, or like, the mirror's done. It's like continually polishing practice. Well, the mirror's already here, but continually polishing, continually sitting, continually being one with the sitting form. Even when crystal clear, this does not reach the principle. But this is not something to be depressed about. This is dropping off body and mind. So I don't know if you could follow all that, all that story in Dogen's comments. And just that's just a tiny, tiny sampling of his comments. I recommend this essay, if you're really, have some time to sit down with it and really, absorb it. Any, questions or comments? Yes.
I was thinking, as you were talking about that, of the Dharma Sutra and about giving charity without expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
And it kind of crystallized from what you were saying about the mirror and polishing it, and by not really expecting it to turn into anything, but practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no future. Yeah. So in giving, it's not, we could see it as, oh, it's accumulating merit gradually for some future purification. So, but you could see also that giving in itself is like completely manifesting Buddha, even. I remember my teacher once said, of all the paramitas, I mean, you could maybe say this about anyone, but he actually singled out giving. He said, actually, complete giving is enlightenment. I thought that was kind of provocative. It's like that's all there is to it. Just like complete giving, but without any fixed mark. It's maybe the footnote to that. Or the emptiness of giver, receiver, and gift. Yeah.
The story as Dogen flips it around, polishing actually does make a mirror.
Exactly, that the first poem was a wonderful poem, and they both poems expressed two different sides of the practice, and we read it like one was better or worse, but I don't know if Dogen ever comments on it that way, but if he did, I bet that he would turn it in that way. Like when he talks about
if we don't recognize it.
Yeah, Doganizing. You know, like, you've got my skin, you've got my flesh, you've got my bones and marrow. It's like, they're all equal.
Right.
It sounds like better and worse, but... Yes. Hi.
I'm a beginner.
Sorry about this.
I'm sorry about that.
Sorry about this complicated story, then.
No, it's fine. That's great. Everything's in bliss. In practicing this posture, I'm finding it extremely difficult because of pain. I'm feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so aware of my body that I can't even go beyond that. I know that that's just sort of part of it. So you hand out some cards that says disagreeable. I can't read it. Agreeable or disagreeable. This posture. So does one have to be in the posture? Can one still... Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Can one still go through one's daily life and still get... kind of go to that point and just meditate as I'm walking through the life, and driving in a car, and cooking a meal. That's what I'm trying to do in my life. This to me is a very formal process, and I want to try it out some more. But can one still do this in one's daily life? I'm done. That's my question.
Do what?
Try to practice the zazen, I guess.
Yeah, I think maybe this story would be particularly pointing to if it's not directed at some future attainment or realization, but everything has the potential to be manifesting this not reaching the principle. While wholeheartedly enacting any activity. So yes, completely, especially when the part of the story about if you're studying sitting Zen, Zen is not a matter of sitting, lying down, driving a car, washing the dishes, or whatever. And that's particularly making the point about Zen isn't a particular posture. And yet, and yet, there's this great emphasis on that Dogen makes of he says elsewhere in this particular essay, Dogen says there are some people in his day in China who said once you understand this point, they say, then you don't need to sit zazen anymore. You don't need to sit meditation anymore because everything's it. And he's very critical of those people. It looks like maybe they're just avoiding something. So I think it's like everything can be it. I think this is really important, and yet so can sitting. So it's more like. And how that works out for each individual in their life would be different. But maybe it's more like this: we have the same attitude towards everything in our daily life, as well as sitting. And then there's a time for sitting and a time for driving and all that. Sitting in a way, you know. It's so, one way I've thought about sitting is, it's, even though it's ultimately expresses the same function as any other activity, it's so directly manifests manifests and expresses that nothing needs to be done to make a Buddha, because it's not doing anything. You know, this is just one way to look at sitting. It's just sitting. It's like, it's not going anywhere, doing anything, where I think a lot of the stuff that we do in our day is like more useful than just sitting here. But that's why it's nice to have some time in the day where, in the midst of all our useful activities, that can also be manifesting this, to do something so completely useless as just sitting doing nothing, but expressing what is. Yes.
It seems to me that in sitting, it's a way of watching the mind, because in other activities, we're not so aware of how busy our mind is. But when we're sitting, we have the opportunity to notice that our mind is like a monkey.
Yeah, that's part of it too. Yeah. Yeah, it's harder to see that when we're really active. Mm-hmm. And then, when we do see that, then can the monkey mind be expressing Buddha? That's a question for you. Or do we feel like we have to polish the monkey mind for many, many years until it becomes the, the swan mind or something. or is the swan already there in the monkey mind trying to settle down? So, it is now time to continue with the rest of our life. So, thanks for putting up with Dogen and my convoluted version of him this evening.
Are boundless.